Yeah. Schedule's coming out, though, on Wednesday. I'll be ready to see where I will not be going for 49ers games. I think the 49ers actually, I think their road schedule's, I don't think there's a lot of places I'd want
to
go.
I'm definitely not going back to Miami. It's a horrible spot.
No, actually, I who did you go?
Back. Raiders, right?
Yeah. Gardner Minshew.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's tough.
Versus Tua.
That's tough.
Sorry about that.
That's tough. That's tough. Damn.
Derek Carr retired over the weekend. The Saints put out this mile-long tweet with a small statement from Derek at the end of it. Mm. We had heard rumblings, like a month or so ago? Something appeared to be wrong with his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then the report was, something could be really, really wrong with their shoulder. And now he's done.
Yeah. Derek Carr. Good NFL career. Good NFL career. It was a good
career. Good.
It was a good career. It never recovered from the broken leg. He looked like he was on his way to
was it 2016 year Raider fans talk about, right?
Yeah. I think they were 11-3 or 12-3 when he broke his leg. It looked really good. Khalil Mack was going crazy. And he never fully bounced back from that. And I'm not saying it's because of the injury. It was just that was the moment when he never recovered. And the league may have figured him out anyway, you know, regardless of it. But the one reason why I say,
remember when they scored like 1,000 points in the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks last year, and it was like, oh my God. And then
they beat the Ravens, right?
They beat the Cowboys and
weren't we talking about the Panthers?
Cowboys and Panthers.
No, I think the Raiders beat the Ravens at the
Because we were talking about the Ravens, Raiders, like, oh my God.
They beat them week two. Raiders beat the Ravens week two.
Yeah, the Saints didn't beat the Ravens, did they?
No, the Saints beat Panthers and Cowboys.
Why am I thinking Raiders? Never mind.
Yeah. They beat the hell out of those two teams. Beat the hell out of them.
Their season.
And then didn't score no more.
Their season literally beat.
They didn't score anymore.
That's not funny, but I mean, it kind of is. Their season literally peaked the first 2 weeks of the season.
One of the things with Derek Carr not recovering from the broken leg is the thought was he never seemed fully comfortable with people in the pocket, like rushing at his legs after that moment. Mm-hmm. Understandably. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'd feel. I'd probably feel the same way. But he was always a little skittish, was the thought process to, you know, having people around him in the pocket after that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. That was tough for the Raiders. That's tough for Derek Carr.
I wonder, that's a what-if moment for Raider fans. John Poles, Dr. David, you guys, what if he finishes the season? I think they would have had a first-round bye. So what if they got to the AFC Championship game and lost?
I don't think they had a first-round bye, did they?
Maybe, maybe not. I thought they had the best record in – they were vying for the best record in AFC, I thought, at that time.
Oh, I don't think so. The year Derek Carr got hurt?
Yeah, they were like 12-3.
Really?
Yeah, they were
– Man, I'm remembering that very differently.
The Raiders finished 12-4, tied with the Chiefs, who finished ahead of them in the division. Yeah, they would have had a bye. Because at that time, did the top two teams still get byes?
When Derek got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, because 12-4.
So did they wind up with a bye?
They lost the last two games or last four games?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but just looking at the standings, yeah, the Raiders had, I guess, the third best record, tied for second best record. It's just third because they were behind the Chiefs in the division.
They were killing.
Yeah. What year was that?
2016. Patriots went 14-2. Chiefs went 12-4. Raiders went 12-4. Steelers went 11-5.
Jesus, it was that long ago?
Mm. Dolphins went 10-6. Shout out.
This is funny. I can't use... Oh, there it is. Oakland Raiders. I had Las Vegas. It wouldn't let me go back to 2016 because because that's not the Las Vegas Raiders. It's the Oakland Raiders.
Aldrin J brings it up as well. Connor Cook, I believe, started that playoff game. Also dissed Archie Manning, right?
Yeah. No,
Archie Griffin. Archie Griffin. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Give me that. Give me that trophy.
Sorry, Archie Griffin. I got your name wrong.
Yeah, they had won three, six. They had won six in a row, lost to the Chiefs, won the next two. Derek got hurt against the Colts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they wound up losing to the Broncos.
It was the same.
I did not at all remember them being 12-4 that season.
I remember I was at the Niners Rams game when, you know, I'm watching that pathetic game. Although that was Niners won. That was Chip Kelly's final win. One of Colin Kaepernick's last. That was his last great moment in the league. Comeback win against the Rams to get the Niners their second win of the season.
Well, his last moment in the league was the next week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was week 16.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm saying, I'm at the game, and all of a sudden, I'm on Twitter and getting texts like, oh, Derek Carr broke his leg. I'm like, what? And nothing was the same. I wonder what would happen because, like I said, say they win a playoff game or get to the second round or get to conference championship, does Khalil Mack stay around? What does Derek Carr become? I think Crabtree was on that team.
This is brutal. Who was coaching that team?
Feels like Del Rio.
Was it Del Rio?
Because Del Rio torpedoed stuff. Well, he did a good job next year, but the following year was the year that
they went 6-10 that year.
In week three, they had that game in Washington on Sunday Night Football where the report was like something happened in the locker room.
Mm. Well,
started off 2-0 that year, too.
They were 2-0. They lost the next four. Then beat Kansas City 31-30. Lost to Buffalo. Beat Miami.
Yeah, what's your problem, man?
Finished 6-10 on that year. But how is it different is a good question because wasn't it Gruden who came in and got Khalil Mack out of there? God, I can't believe it's been that long since that Derek Carr game. 2016. That is crazy.
Something happened.
Wow.
I forgot something happened.
You talking about with the team, the Del Rio stuff?
Yeah, something happened with Derek Carr in the offensive line before the Washington game.
Oh, any given Sunday?
Something like that.
Did it have to do with the kneeling stuff that was going on at the time, I think?
Something
tying in with that?
Sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. I don't remember exactly what, but I kind of remember that
might have been the case.
It's that era.
Yeah.
Cuz 16 was cap. So 17 would have been the first year it was a thing.
It's an AI description, but yeah, it says the rumor was that the offensive line let Derek Carr get hurt cuz he was against them kneeling or something like that. It wasn't obviously that, but I think that was the issue, was kind of centering around like the kneeling and all that stuff.
Yeah, Patrick said Del Rio told the team they couldn't kneel. I need Del Rio to tell me where he was on January 6th.
That was also the year I think Penn was almost fought the fan outside Oakland Coliseum.
That's right. Man. That was a bold move, man. That was a bold move from that fan.
Well, yeah, man.
The Raiders 12-4, and then all of a sudden, and just never again.
12-4 with a young Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. You're like, we found the squad. Like, we're going to be here for a minute. And then the next year in the offseason, they get Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was like, I'm here to finish the job here in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
They start off 2-0. Marshawn Lynch is dancing on the sidelines.
And I don't think they won after that. He really from Oakland, though, but they never won again.
Yeah. That was the last good moment for the Oakland Raiders, pretty much.
11 years in the league for Derek Carr. 41,000 yards, 257 touchdown passes, 112 interceptions. Sacked 303 times.
Well,
it's not crazy. It's not a crazy number.
No.
I mean, that's cute. He does have some crazy numbers in here, though. Like he got hit. Well, yeah, he got hit a couple times.
Yeah. Look, that's cute. How much money did he make?
So
we don't.
So this. So I thought of that when I started.
Career's over.
No, I okay. Settle down, pal. You know, NFL contracts can be a little. They can be a little difficult. Let me take quick peek. Okay. Let me take a.
Wait, what do you mean you're ready? Like, did you already guess and look it up?
No, it's been time. I'm trying to get this win. This is about the time where I made my comeback last year, and it's time.
Brother.
Yeah! Yeah!
Your enthusiasm is turning me off.
Are we going off of career earnings? What are we doing here?
Career earnings.
It's about the time when the season turned last year.
Let me just take a couple of looks around. Okay, I think I'm confident.
Derek Carr was a first round pick as well. I'd like to know that if possible.
I think I'm confident in what I have here. People?
Thank you, Sacktown Tony. You did cheat.
There is a lot of your enthusiasm is just really making people uncomfortable.
Bro, what?
Shout out Hoffa.
You're a known cheater.
No, I'm not.
You are a known cheater.
Multiple times.
You guys upset with me because I love a game? I love a game.
You are a known cheater. Derek Carr, Jesse, was drafted number 36 overall in the 2014 NFL Draft. Round two. Number 36 overall. 11 years in the league for Derek Carr. I believe all of this.
We're going off of his guarantees, too?
We're going off of his guarantees. Yes. We're going off of the money I believe he actually made. I have filtered through this as best I can. And we'll have bases, signing bonuses, the total amount of money that he made in his 11-year career. Again, Derek Carr retires after 11 seasons. The former number 36 overall pick in the 2014 NFL Draft out of Fresno State.
Shout out to the 559.
Bring the conversation full circle. Of course, he played for two different teams. Your Raiders, multiple cities, and the New Orleans Saints. Career earnings. This is going to be tough. I'm very anxious to see where this goes.
I'm just guessing.
Career earnings. 11 years. I feel like Kenny cheated. I don't know, man.
I just went off a guesser.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
11 years for Derek Carr. Career earnings are what? Gentlemen.
This feels wrong. Why do you not have your answer up
here? Wow. Where is your answer?
Because you didn't give me the highest year earning.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that.
You're right.
He's right. Yeah, this doesn't count. He's right.
I didn't. His highest earning was $30 million.
Oh, man. That changes
That's
things.
That's my bad.
All right, man. Let me go. Yeah. All right.
Oh, you taking your time over there. And KC went with, I can't even see it, $167 million. Jesse went with $205.
No, this is
$180.
I changed it.
Yeah, no, he went to
$205. I got to change it because he didn't give us the highest answer. So that affects the answer, the highest paid, whatever. That affects the answer. I got $180.
Jesse wins either way.
That's right. I win either way. Just like those Boston Celtics on Saturday.
The number.
That's what we're doing. Hey, we're not naming New York streets today, huh?
The number.
Oh, that's what we're doing?
The number, counting the $10 million bonus that he will be allowed to keep.
Wait a minute.
The number, counting the $10 million bonus he will be allowed to keep from the New Orleans Saints, for the first time in pocket watching history, was $205 million.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, whatever, it's over. Wait. It's over. Yeah, you want to take my first answer still?
No, bro. No. Hey, throw this out. Throw this out, man. Throw this out. Nah, that's not right. Throw this out.
The score right now is KC 3, Jesse 8.
Oh, we're hitting our threes in the fourth quarter this time.
I still got time. Last year I was 3-12.
You want to do something you're a little bit better at since we're talking money and talk prize picks here?
For sure. Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay. You said 40 something earlier.
I did say 40 something. Prize Picks is on the way. What a mess.
They're going to hate us.
God damn it, man. I'll figure out how to do this. Look at Jack. False start on everybody, including me. We'll come back. Prize Picks is on the way.
Yeah.
And the NBA draft lottery is tonight. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. We were talking wrestling during the commercial break, and I just love thinking, like, the Rock talking about, just enjoy this ride we're going to take you on. It's going to be an amazing. We haven't seen his ass since, except on the Pat McAfee show. Rock ain't been nowhere to be found since telling us you guys are going to enjoy this ride at that press conference. All right, buddy. All right, Dwayne. Whatever you say, pal.
What he said was 6 weeks. You got 6 weeks.
Wasn't it
cool? All right, you got Cody. You got Cena. I know Cena's supposed to be a heel now. Supposed to be a heel. We'll pull back the curtain a little bit.
I think it's getting worse.
Wait a minute. Let me finish what I'm saying here. You got 6 weeks. And even though we're past that 6 weeks, now we're about 4 weeks from WrestleMania. It's still there. Triple H, he didn't book very well. He needed me. He needed me. But Evolution, they're saying Evolution in Atlanta. I'll be there.
You know, maybe. That is really an undercover part that just kind of like slipped by. Yeah, Elimination Chamber wasn't selling for nothing, so they had to call me.
But I was Shane.
These idiots don't know what the hell they're doing. So I had to come save the damn day. All right.
That was Shane. That was Shane for sure.
Right, honestly, man. If we never heard from The Rock again in WWE, it'd be okay.
It's fine.
I'm almost to the point that D'Lo, if I've never heard from the WWE again, it'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like I might miss it because it's part of my life for a long time, but I took a break before.
I think it was fine. I think the closest to the type of break that I'm having right now, this will get heat, was the Bret Hart era. I didn't get back into it until the Shawn Michaels thing started.
When it got fun again?
Yeah, when they started.
Come on.
You only just hate Shawn.
Kicking him in the gut. He's already on the ground.
Kicking who? What?
You're right. It got a little more fun.
Yeah, unless you're taking serious.
Yeah. So
I mean, you're not wrong. Neither one of you are wrong.
That was a stretch like where Hogan exits, you know, in 93. I mean, wow, that was a solid 3 years.
They were lost.
Most of high school, I was away from it.
They were lost.
Well, no, that's not true. 90, yeah, no, I mean, 96, I was a sophomore. That was the boyhood dream. And then it really started to ramp up in 97. But that's when it started getting really good, though, for me, is you had, like, Shawn. Bret went away. Bret comes back, and he's got the Austin thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Shawn's having great matches with, like Mankind, Diesel. Of course, Diesel, you know, leaves, and then you get into 97, and that's where it really starts to kind of take off a little bit.
When Hogan leaves, it was kind of rough, but they figured some things out. They developed Diesel, developed Razor Ramon, got Shawn there. They're cooking. Then Diesel and Razor leave.
Yeah.
And how long of a stretch was that? That was a year and a half before Austin.
But Razor and Diesel leave? Well, no, it was months.
How it always feels like.
Well, it actually wasn't. Like Austin 316 hit 2 weeks after.
After they left.
What the hell is he doing here? After
the outsiders show up.
So Nash might have debuted on Nitro around the same time Austin 316 was set. Mm. So the NWO hadn't formed yet. Mm-hmm. Razor and Diesel were there, but the group, the Hogan turn, none of that stuff happened yet when Stone Cold dropped the line, you know, Austin 316, I just whipped your ass. But nothing happened after that. That's the romantic thing that WWE tells you is, there were signs everywhere. We knew we had something. No, you didn't. You know what Austin did at SummerSlam that year? Nothing. He did. They basically did nothing with him until they knew Brett was coming back. Brett, and this is where Brett's actually really sharp, is he was like, yeah, I want to work with Steve. So everything Steve did from like September through October into November was all about Bret Hart. And that's when he started. If you put the S in front of Hitman, you got my exact opinion of him. That's where he started talking more aggressively. That's where he was featured a lot. And it was all to lead to Bret. They have that match at Survivor Series. It's a classic. And it's like, nah, these two are together now.
So you would have a better understanding or sense of when things turn for me. But I look at, I look at the WrestleMania match, Stone Cold Bret, that kicked off the return. That was when Austin,
the return of you?
I was still watching.
The return of what?
Just the return of WWF, because now Austin was about to be in the forefront, sure. and all this other stuff. King of the Ring was June of the previous year, so they went from June
to probably the end of March,
just kind of getting beat up. I mean, they got beat up after that, but
They got beat up for a year after that match. A year after the WrestleMania match. Yeah, they didn't turn anything until Austin beat Shawn. Brett was gone, and Steve did the thing with McMahon.
Yeah.
That first, when he wins the title, they have the live Raw, which is fine. They do a taped Raw where they tease, you know, Stone Cold going corporate, and then they come back and they do the live Raw. And that live Raw was the first one where they start the show. Austin comes out, says, you hate me. You want this title. Fight me for it. Wrestle me for it tonight. And so the whole show is built around them having a wrestling match that night. Vince McMahon wrestling. And they get the shots of him in the tank top. And for the first time, you see, like, Vince McMahon is built the way that he is. And that was the first time they beat the NWO version of WCW. They'd obviously beat them before, but right. I think it had been, well, what's the 83 weeks is the number Eric Bischoff has made an entire living off of.
Because that was, for some people, that Austin, that was a turning point. Austin Hitman at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, big WWF fan, you know, the first time I felt like I could stick my chest out and we was out here cooking was WrestleMania 14, Mike Tyson, the build up.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, we back. I want you to put the word out that we back up.
Two weeks after that, that's when everything changed.
Yeah, we back up.
Then they kind of went back and forth. And I can't remember what moment it was where Raw won and they never lost again. It's probably when they were having Buff Bagwell's mom on a forklift match or something like that over in WCW.
I was going to say, was it when Val Venus almost got his...
Aye, choppy, choppy. It's so offensive, man.
I was disturbed. I was disturbed on that one, too, by the way.
So offensive. And they bought out, what was the guy's name? John Wayne Bobbitt? They brought him out the next week with Val Venus, who, if you don't know... Go ahead, look up why he's famous.
Oh, man.
Yeah. God, that stuff was so lowbrow. So bad. Anyways. Let's get TC in here. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. TC, what's happening, boy?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's good, big dog?
Oh, man, vibing, man. Kind of fired up with lottery. Hey, I'm going to get straight. Okay. D-Lo, look. Hey, how was y'all weekend, bro? Was it cool? Mother's Day, I know it was all good.
It was terrific.
Yes, sir. Terrific. How about yours, man? You good?
Yeah, it was good, man. We went out to Daly City, man, the ocean and all that. It was cool.
There you go.
I see you, Ronnie Romance. All right.
Yeah. It was nice. Thank you, Kenny. D-Lo. Hey,
we know TC talked white to his wife. He accidentally texted us once when he thought he was texting the missus.
Hey, that was wild, man.
we know TC, a good one. He treat his wife the right way.
They're my dogs, man. I love y'all. Hey, look. Hey, King's getting lucky tonight, bro. We're going to jump into the top four. Listen, if we get lucky, we get number one, obviously. We're going to go Cooper, right? But if we get anything like two, three, or four, I think Domas is gone, bro, and I think you get the next man in line. Kenny, what you think about this? I really like the big man, bro, that hoop with Cooper. he's that stretch five. Dude is dominant, bro.
No, he's not top four. He's not top four. He's not top four.
He's not top
four. Okay. He lottery, but he's not top four.
Okay, okay. That's all I got. Yeah. We getting lucky tonight, Kings fan.
Okay.
All right, TC. I see TC cooking.
Has any of TC's motivational speeches ever worked for us? Like, can we think back to like one where TC called and said, "Yeah, we're gonna win by 12 tonight," and not even by 12. The team just won.
What did TC say the one time? Didn't he say they hide the kids or something, or it's on fire?
Oh yeah.
What did Jesse remember? What did he say?
He had one where we burned this thing down. I think it was. I was like, hold on, TC, we ain't got to do all that. Yeah. I don't know if any of TC's motivational speeches have ever gone well for us. So,
well, that one, he was a little bit more subdued. It wasn't like definitive. It was like, yeah, we're going to. So maybe he's like, all right, let me fall back a little bit. So the message gets to these guys a little better.
I mean, TC gave that whole speech. We're going to get to the lottery. Kings, 14th pick. Don't get their thing. Over and done with after the first 5 seconds.
Did you see the scenario where if the Kings, they're supposed to get the 13th pick. If they get the 14th pick, the Kings keep it. And I think that triggers Atlanta into the top four. But Atlanta would lose the pick to San Antonio. So not only would they not get the
what?
The Kings, oh no, the Hawks would keep it. So say the Kings they're supposed to get the 13th pick. That's where they're slotted at.
Okay.
If the Kings' name comes up at 14, it goes to Atlanta. But the Kings being at 14 would move Atlanta into the top four.
Okay.
And they lose.
So if you're not, so
Atlanta lose their pick.
So basically, what this if you don't draft in the spot that you're, if your name isn't called where it's slotted, you're into the top four. Mm-hmm. There's no other scenario. It's not like, oh, maybe they'll be sixth or seventh or eighth. It's like if you're not called at 14, you moved up to four. If you're not called at 13, you moved up to four. Like those are the only ways that it works.
Right.
Unless. Correct. If you're in the top four, you can move back so far, right? You can't move back to like 14.
Yeah, I want to say it's like six or seven,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think happened last year, because obviously Atlanta moved up, and teams got, you know, someone moves up,
yeah,
someone got pushed back in the four gets pushed back, but you can't get pushed back to. If you have one of the top four worst records,
right,
you get pushed back to like six or something like that. Yeah. No lower than six.
But that would be awful for Atlanta. Think about
it. Every year they put out
you get the Kings pick, but now you guaranteed to lose your own
14th
top four
pick. And who's it go to again?
San Antonio. Your guys' franchise.
Bro, why are you so bitter? Will you relax?
You're going to make me stop calling the Riverwalk a creek, and I don't want to do that.
You don't have any reason to call it a creek. There's nothing wrong with the Riverwalk. It's a perfectly fine place.
But, yeah, I'm...
I don't know how many times you can go to the Riverwalk, though, if I'm being completely honest.
Every weekend. Nice. They probably got fine dining over there. Like, you could eat outside.
They they definitely have that.
There's a Nike outlet there, I'm sure, or something.
See, I didn't say that.
What?
I didn't. That was Jesse, ladies and gentlemen. It's
outlets by the water.
Hey, you want to go see the Alamo?
Not really.
Oh.
I want to go see the airport so I can get out of here.
These are wild takes from people who live in Sacramento. That's, like, what do you tell people when they come here to do?
You go downtown. You go to Doko. You go to Midtown. Man, go to the bars. Yeah. You have a good time.
You hear yourself? You go to Doko?
I don't call it Doko.
No, I'm here.
Wait, what
no,
are you, what are you
Jesse,
doing?
Wait, where am
on,
I going?
Hold on.
No, I'm going to Doko.
Well, we call it downtown. But, like, you guys know it's called Doko. We go downtown.
Hey.
To do what?
But look, you go to a Kings game, you don't know who you might see.
Yeah.
You know you go to a Spurs game, nobody.
Yeah, who did Vivek pay to come sit courtside?
We might be wrong, by the way, but why are you arguing with them?
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
What are you doing with them?
Yeah, what are you doing with them?
Why, first of all, why don't you stop stealing Jesse's bit?
What are you doing with him? You might see.
I'm just asking questions.
You might see Natalie Nunn in the Bad Girls Club.
Yeah.
At the Kings game.
Yeah.
You ain't going to see nobody at the Spurs game.
Chuck Liddell might be at the Kings game.
You might
for
see
some weird reason.
David Robinson.
Yeah, you might see Brett Favre courtside, too.
Oh. I didn't say that one.
Yeah, that's.
Right, Brett Favre might be sitting with Chuck Liddell courtside.
You might be seeing Floyd Mayweather and 50 Cent brokering peace, finally.
Well, that's not what happened. They just sat near each other.
Kyrie Irving was here in Sacramento. Did he go to San Antonio? No.
I don't know.
Kyle Shanahan was at the Kings game.
San Antonio have a light to beam? No.
They just got championships.
They have a lot of championship rings.
It's rings when you got a beam.
Look, man, I don't know. Something about that didn't sound right.
Wait,
so I'm throwing a flag on the official.
Wait a minute.
No, something about that phrase. About that didn't sound
how
right.
How did Courtney Kirkland, how's he able to throw
about,
a flag?
Something about that didn't sound right. Who needs a ring when you got a beam? Something about that doesn't feel right. What's the Celtics referee who got thrown out? That's Jesse.
Eric Lewis.
Of course he knows.
Shout out, Eric. Could have used them tonight.
Well, how we feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, I feel pretty good.
You should, man. The Celtics was hitting everything in game three. Is game four a must win for the Knicks? It's a must win.
Mm.
You have to win, else the series is over. I didn't feel like the series was over if you lost game three. It was like, you want to keep the momentum going, and you want to stay aggressive and stay giving them doubt. Now, if they don't win game four, I believe the series is finished. It's finished. You've got to win game four if you're the Knicks. It's a different level of pressure. This is what Chuck and them were talking about after they won game two.
If you're the Knicks, what are you telling yourselves? Because you've played the Celtics seven times. Damn near every game has looked the same. The Celtics have had a 20-point lead in six of those seven games so far. The first two games you won, you can point, the Celtics just choked in the fourth quarters of those games, went cold from three in the second half in game one. Game three is the exact same game again, except this time the Celtics aren't just historically bad from three, and you got blown out.
My thing is, I wouldn't think about the regular season stuff. That don't really bother me too much. I would look.
But it hasn't even looked different in the playoffs. It's just Boston lost game one and game two because they couldn't shoot the ball at all.
It's sure, but it's.
Or they couldn't shoot the ball late.
Late.
So
it's at this point, the Knicks, we're trying everything. It's just at what point is all right, now you're starting to doubt yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't. Me personally, I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I wouldn't. Regular season. People are in and out of lineups on both teams.
Those numbers are kind of crazy.
The regular season wouldn't factor into my thinking. The first three games would, though, and the fact that, we haven't really stopped them.
But that 6 of 7 don't move you?
No, I'm just me personally.
We've said all year the Knicks are supposed to, they're built to match up with the Celtics. They haven't shown anything this year that they are.
Truth be told, if they get tonight's game, it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I've been watching since game one when they played. It hasn't looked different at all. It's the same game over and over. It's just a matter of game one and game two. The Celtics lost because they couldn't shoot.
I read three different articles today telling me that the Knicks did not defend the Celtics differently the other night.
They
defended them worse.
Celtics had open shots finally.
Yeah, that's what it was to me.
Jalen Brunson's shooting 38% from the field right now.
They were getting looks in the first two games, the Celtics, where they were just bricking them. So they hit them in that game. Here's what I would say if I was the Knicks. I would say even if you want to use the 6 of 7 of games, we're not – this is what they will believe. People would disagree. But we're not this just scrub team. We haven't played a good game yet. We haven't played a good game yet.
The Celtics haven't.
No, the Knicks. We haven't played a good game yet. We haven't played.
Have the Celtics?
Yeah, game three.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Still waiting on Tatum and Brown, though.
Sure. The Celtics are one of the top teams, if not the top team in the NBA. So they got a lot of reasons to feel like they will win. You asked me what I would say if I was the Knicks. We haven't played a good game yet. What, like, we don't even have to be this super team. What happens when we, if we can hit 63% of our threes?
See, that's the thing, though. I don't think they played a good game yet because it's the Celtics. Like, they just, like, it's like Kings Pelicans that one year. Didn't matter what happened. It was the same game over and over and over. That's just literally been this. The Knicks can try all they want. They just can't. They haven't done anything yet. Maybe they can today, but it'd be the first time all year.
And all they need to do is win that one and then win another. That's the thing with the playoffs. Like, if it was at the beginning of the series, that'd be cool. They don't need to play four great games no more. They need to play two good games and win. That's all that matters. That's why I said, like, we can go back to the 6-7 and all this other stuff, and those stats are crazy.
It's happening now, though.
Yeah, that's fine. The Knicks, what if Tatum turns his ankle like he did at the end of Game 7 against the Miami Heat or the beginning of Game 7?
Well, this is stuff we can't see. Like, yeah, sure, if everyone gets hurt on the Celtics, then yeah.
Porzingis, well, not everyone. Porzingis' stomach starts messing up again. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tougher climb to ask them to come back from win four games. Now you've blown two games if you're Boston. They just got to figure out a way to win two more times. That's it. Like, figure out a way. Maybe one of it is your best game that you play and you win that game. And maybe the other one is just a close game that you're able to eke out. You don't have to be better than them four times. Now, because of what happens, you got to figure out a way to be better than them twice. You could, if they won, the Knicks, if they won two more times and they played well in those two games, we'll sit up there and say the Celtics were up 20 points or more in 6 of the 9 games. What does that matter? Because you'd already lost the series. That don't matter.
I think you will.
But that'll be the number. Like, 6 of 9 games, being up 20 and 6 and 9, you would say, oh.
Yeah, but that's not a story anymore. That story is only prevalent, one, because the Celtics finally won a game.
Mm-hmm.
They were up by 20 again, and it's just, what are we watching in this series? We've seen the Celtics dominate,
mm-hmm.
and then we've seen them blow two games in the fourth quarter. So what exactly are we looking at in this series? The regular season stuff can either provides more context or it just provides more numbers. I'm of the belief it just provides more numbers. It doesn't provide context to the series that we're watching right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Celtics win the next two games. That's when it provides context to the series, because you can say this all the time, Will Z is a liar. You could do whatever you want with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Will will be the first to tell you, if I need a stat, I can get the numbers for it, and I can make the numbers mean something good, or I can make the numbers mean something bad. The numbers are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that happened, you know, during the regular season is of no consequence whatsoever if the Knicks win the series.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's just a talking point.
Yeah.
Knicks have been down 20 points 6 of the 7 games that they've played against the Celtics this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy stat to me.
Yeah, it is. It's a trip. That's a trip.
But the Knicks are up 2-1 in the series, which was your point, and that's all that matters. It's two more games or wins.
And if one of the games that they're not down 20 is tonight and they end up winning the game, they're up 3-1.
Mm.
Like that, and that's what I think about with, like, the playoffs. And that's why I love the playoffs. Like, none of that stuff matters outside of the wins and losses, guns and butters. Like the Clippers, I thought the Clippers probably should have beat the Nuggets. I thought they were the better team, but they wasted game one. They blew game one, and it had them spiraling for the entire series, and they end up losing. They gave the Nuggets confidence, or the Nuggets got their feet under them after, you know, a crazy end to the season, start feeling good about themselves, end up winning that series. We talked about it with the Cavs and Pacers. Even with everything that's going on, the series would be different if they didn't blow game two.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they blew game two and they lost that game, it's unbelievably daunting. And that's what the Knicks are looking at for tonight. Got to win tonight, because you're still in the super driver's seat if you win tonight. If you lose tonight, it's over. The Celtics might mess around and just win four straight at that point. Got to find a way to win tonight. I think we'll see a closer game tonight. I don't think we'll see a blowout. But we'll see. We'll see. The Celtics were cooking on Saturday. They ended that game early.
I'd like to see a good game out of my Prize Picks lineup.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're
going
to see it.
It's going bad for your boy.
You're going to see it. It's been going bad for me, too. I've lost my last five games, but so that's going to end.
I'm
going
to do the opposite of everything you're about to say, then.
That's going to end today, though. That's going to end today. Because that lineup that I got right now, this is a winner. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a winner. Julius Randle, 20 and a half points. Give me more. He's going to go to work. Maybe another triple-double.
Really?
Jimmy Butler, 26 and a half points. Give me less. I think he ran out of gas in that game. And he is dealing with a little injury as well. So give me less. Jason Tatum, 43 and a half points, rebounds, and assists. Give me more. Tatum looks like he's locked in. I wanted to see him play well. He did that on Saturday. I think he's going to have one of those games where he exceeds that 43 and a half for points, rebounds, and assists. Al Horford, half a three made. It's a goblin. Give me that. I'll take it. For sure, for sure. And then, Giants, Diamondbacks. My good old first inning runs allowed. I went less than half a run allowed. That should be a winner. I'm winning today. I'm saying that right now. I'm winning today. You can win too. Download the Prize Pick app. Put in the promo code KIFM to get your $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. No need to win or lose. Just put in the promo code KIFM. You get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game. Zabo.
Is it hate to think?
Zabo didn't think he was going to win today. First to 10.
The Warriors are going to get blown out.
No, it's just they gave their best shot on Saturday, and they almost stole one.
I'm taking a lot of unders. Where's my Draymond Green hate? Where's my? There he is. He's at 8.5 less. Man, none of this is bringing in big money either. Shout out Prize Picks, man.
Big up still.
We'll come back. James Hamm joins us. Stilo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Drew down. Reminded me. Look at Jonathan Kuminga. They got him at 17.5 tonight. You can go Goblin at 12.5, 13.5, 14.5. You can go Demon at 19.5. You can go Super Demon at 23.5. You can go Crazy Demon at 24.5. Man. Yeah, I don't know if I'm that confident in my 24 brother.
24.5.
I think they're getting blown out tonight.
I do too. I thought and I got mad at Minnesota for not handling business. In that game three early. But there is something to be said for, and I'm a believer in this, the heart of a champion. You know, those are some prideful guys. They were coming back home, talking about the Golden State Warriors, and they played inspired basketball. They played tough basketball. And they were ready to try and, you know, steal one and everything. I thought they put their best foot forward on Saturday and almost got it done, but weren't able to. And that's why I think it's going to be a little easier for Minnesota tonight.
Yeah, be clear, I'm not getting my Warriors jokes off or hating. Like, I'm serious. I don't feel good about it. I think they threw a hell of a punch the other night. And, you know, and this is probably what some people saying about Denver. Mm-hmm. You know, Denver threw a hell of a punch yesterday and still went down. Like, but I know Denver's roster probably isn't. I know Denver's roster is going to be problematic as this series goes on longer. Mm-hmm. The Warriors just don't have enough without Steph Curry. Like, it is like you can. Oh, look at it! It's there! It's there! Oh, they're fighting! Oh, what? No, they need a basket. Oh, okay. Oh, they're doubling Jimmy. Oh, Draymond Green needs to hit a shot. Well, that's not going to happen. There's just at some point where it's like, this isn't going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I give them credit for the way they played on Saturday. Saturday had as much to do with the way they played, talking about the Warriors, as it did Minnesota not taking care of business. Like, I probably lean a little bit more towards the Warriors showed fight, showed grit, well-coached. Like I said, a heart of a champion. I lean towards that being the reason why that game was the way it was, as opposed to like Minnesota not taking care of business.
Nah, I would lean towards Minnesota. I don't like that team, man.
Well,
can either of you definitively say, like, say with your chest, who the best team in each conference is?
I mean, I would say yes. I'd say Boston and OKC.
You think that's definitively accurate?
Yeah, I'd give them both that moniker right now.
You?
I go Boston and then ask me who's playing well for the West that day. Like OKC, I don't know if it's OKC playing just down or Denver with that championship experience. I don't know what take to have there.
So what is your take?
Those games are kind of ugly too. So like it feels more so like OKC's not playing well.
So what do you attributed what Golden State did the other night to Golden State? And mm-hmm. they salute. Very good. What about Denver? Is that Denver's championship grit, or is Oklahoma City not playing well?
Jokic isn't even shooting that well, right?
Shooting terrible.
Yeah.
To me, it's I'll give credit to Denver. You know, I've been critical of them, but what they've been able to do, especially after getting stomped out the way they did in game two, not being fazed by that, and coming back and winning a close game in game three, I'll give them credit for that one. The playoff, for the most part, I know we you know, the original thing was I need to see this and that from Cleveland and all this other stuff. But in actuality, playoffs are tough, man. The playoffs are difficult. Then you go through games that you probably think in a regular season situation, you just stomp out, you know, Memphis if you're OKC. But Memphis is out there in round one, is out there fighting for their season. And if those guys have any pride at all, that's not going to be an easy game necessarily. And they played two nail biters against Memphis. Where in the regular season, you could, oh, yeah, we'll beat them by 15 or something like that. Playoffs are different.
Yeah, what's that say, though, if you're a 68-win team and, like, you're not even playing the Nuggets at their best. Like Dame said, like, Jokic isn't even shooting the ball that well. Like, there is a point, I think, where you should be kind of setting yourself apart here. Just being who you were all season, who you're supposed to be, no?
Yeah,
like, I understand that Jokic was lighting them up, being Jokic, but like you're not even getting Denver's best at this point.
I think that's tougher to do on the road, though. I still put stock in going on the road, playing teams like that in their building with their fans, and just having a certain level of what's the word they use, moxie, to be able to stick around in a game or elevate your play in a game or something like that. I think. Some people don't think it matters. I think it still matters. The home court, all that other stuff. It changes the way the others play and the way a team comes out ready to play for these games sometimes at home.
I have no clue who the best team in either conference is. I can't. I mean, how can I say it's Boston? They're down 2-1 in their series.
Ask again in 6 hours.
Yeah. Now that changes my opinion. However, I don't know.
Boston gonna get credit for being the sorry Knicks team?
What do you mean?
Justin told me the Knicks are trash. So they're gonna get credit for beating a sorry team?
Well,
I never said the Knicks are trash. I said the Celtics have beat them all season. Like, I don't know what you're getting at.
He said the Knicks are trash?
I don't think so.
I don't think I ever said trash. Well, like, what is your point? Like, the Celtics beating the Knicks isn't like, oh, like, the Celtics are the, I think they'd be the best team in the East because the Cavs probably won't be here and, like, they won the title last year.
But he said,
ask me in 2 hours. Like, you ain't going to, if the Knicks are as bad as you think they are,
if the Knicks go
up, you don't get credit for tying up the Knicks at 2-2. It might be Indiana.
Well, I said right now the Celtics are the best team, but if the Knicks go up 3-1, then I can't say it's the Celtics.
Oh, I took it the other way. My bad. I took it the other way as saying, you didn't think that like, because he asked, how can we say the Celtics are the best team and they're down 2-1? And you were like, ask me in 6 hours. I thought you meant like,
well, no, it was once more like they Dan's win, questions.
Then you can say.
No, it's if you've even the series at 2-2, then you can make the argument. If you're down 3-1, there's no argument. But I think there's an argument for Indiana.
I think there is. I think Boston is the best team. I do too,
but we'll check the group thread here. We'll check Jesse's pulse rate in a few hours. Because like, that's like, you could be down 3-1 today. Mm-hmm. The Pacers are up 3-1, and they're up 3-1 against the number one seed. They're playing as good a bet. They're playing better than Memphis. You could probably make an argument they're playing better. In terms of the teams playing basketball right now, I don't know that anybody's playing better than them.
It doesn't
mean they're the best, but right now I don't know that anybody's playing better than the Pacers.
It's the unfair caveat, though.
What's that?
All playing people hurt all the time. And I'm not saying that's fair. They can only play who's in front of them. But both of the series, people have gone down on the teams that they're playing. Star players have gone down. And I think that might be I can't say – they're playing really good. I haven't seen enough to say they're better than Boston just because they beat the shorthanded teams. But they're playing really
well. I hear you. I'll make the argument for Indiana right now at 257 today. I think the argument is good. I think the argument in six hours, if the Celtics series is tied 2-2 versus 3-1, I think it's a much more difficult conversation to have for the reasons that you just laid out right there. You talk about teams losing their players. The Golden State Warriors lost their heartbeat, and I still don't know if Minnesota can pull this off. I'm confident they can, simply because the Warriors stink without Steph Curry. But I look, sometimes I watch the Wolves play basketball. Like, y'all even want to win? I can't buy in. It's been the season-long thing with that team, man. I just don't get it. OKC, I'm going to give Denver credit. And I don't know if OKC will look like this against Minnesota. But I'm gonna give Denver and Jokic and Adaman and all of them dudes credit. They're making life very, very difficult for Mark Daigneault and that group. I don't know. Maybe order my Tyrese jersey. I don't know. I feel like the Pacers are playing well.
They are playing well. And
I still get a Kings Tyrese jersey. Are those
you can find
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You might have to go to
Ross
back
at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can find him.
I got a real question. Is Ross still exist?
Absolutely. Wow. Wait. No, that's crazy.
I mean, it does.
What do you mean? Does Ross?
Come on, man.
Oh, how do I go and turn on KC tomorrow or even in 30 minutes from now when you're asking questions like that?
You know what I'm saying?
Does Ross still, like...
Where's... Tell me.
Hey, there ain't no Ross in your neighborhood. There's Ross in my neighborhood.
All right. That's like Ross the first where it's like, I'm not rich enough for this show.
Hold on. In comparison to your house, how many miles is Ross away?
Man, it's down the street.
Yeah, how far?
I'll find out right now.
Like less than 2 miles?
Do you know what Marshall's is?
Probably not.
Yes.
It's less than 10.
That's not your neighborhood. My house is less than 10 miles from here.
Everyone's got
anywhere
a Ross.
You drive out here, you ain't going to see no Ross.
You got a Ross within 10 minutes of yourself?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
There's not like a Ross and maybe a Subway or type of sandwich food shop next to it, like within 10 minutes of you, then yeah, you're a little too rich. For us, at least.
Ross, oh, Tres Feliz. There is. There's one.
Does Ross still exist?
Please.
There's one out here. There's one in Rosewood. There might be. Oh man, there's
Ross
is all over the place.
Like Nordstrom Rack, like Ross.
There's
to you?
A Ross in Rockland. So you two suck. First
you didn't
of
even
all.
Know it
that's
existed.
That's
no,
not,
I can,
that's not hey, even the same type of. That's not the same.
5112 Commons Drive, Rockland, California.
That's a different company.
Ross Dress for Less.
You're treating Ross like it's Mervin's.
That's funny.
Shout out, Kenby Fit in elementary school.
You know what it is? I just don't ever leave the house. I guess that's all it is.
I don't know.
No,
that's
crazy. We ain't doing that.
No.
We ain't doing that. You're too rich.
I don't leave the house. I know Ross exists.
There's some Marshalls, too.
I think there's a
Marshalls right by the mall. I had
Shout
no
out
idea.
TJ Maxx.
Shout out TJ Maxx. I tried to go in there the other day. It wasn't open yet.
That's hilarious.
It was.
What are you even shopping for? Michael Jordan just sends you stuff for free.
Michael Jordan doesn't send me anything.
It's not what the internet said.
The internet didn't even say anything. What are you talking about?
That's not what
it didn't say anything about who sent it to me.
No,
I'm so stuck on D'Lo, like, not knowing if Ross still exists or not. Like, where do you
drive? Why is that crazy? I thought it might have closed.
I was hella rich.
Yeah, what places do you drive where you don't even see a Ross at this point?
I'm not looking for a Ross. I thought it might have closed.
It just pops up. Like, you just, oh, like, you
they're
just,
actually
yeah.
building new Rosses. Like,
just,
what do you mean closed?
Really? Yeah.
But, like, the one down the street from my house is probably in the last year.
Down the street from you. How many miles is it?
It's less than 10.
That's not down the street.
It's literally down the street.
My house is 10 miles from here. It's not down the street.
See, like, how close is Ross to, like, maybe something like
Chef I might be closer to Ross than you are.
That's cap.
I found four Rosses in Roseville and Rockland.
There's a Marshall's down the street from my house, too, or down the freeway.
There's a Marshall's by me, too. I just
saw There ain't no Marshall's by you. I don't know nothing about no Marshall's.
You offended the chat house. I'm low-key offended by that. Ross is hella popular.
Yo.
Wow. Don't meet your heroes, kids.
About to find out right now.
Look, you got Kenny about to die right now because of that tape.
I bet you Ross is, let's say, less than 5 miles from my house.
Let's all check the closest Ross to our houses and we'll see.
I found four of them right now. And a Marshall's.
I'm about to find it right now.
You're hella slow. I could do it faster. Ross.
I forgot there's two Rosses.
Dress. Where's a.
Yeah, bro, I win. It's 4.7 miles from my house. Stop. Stop.
All right. I'm going to go home, Ross.
Yeah, I got a Ross about a mile and a half away from me.
Come on, man.
Hold on.
I swear, Dan, if this is double digits, Dan.
This other one is exactly five. I got two. One is 5 miles away. The other is 4.7 miles away. Stop playing with me, man. I'm for the people.